This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour two of the Nightcap here on VSiN. That gentleman won himself a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, played for the Arizona Cardinals, finished 10th in the Heisman Trophy in 1998, undefeated Tulane Green Wave. His name is Sean King. I am Tim Murray. 7-2, top of the eighth inning. Astros leading the Braves. You've got a push on the total. If you got the under, you're sweating it out for no more runs. If you got the over, say, come on, baby, give us one more run. And the gentleman is going to join us. You know, I feel like I'm a pretty nice guy. I guess not. But Brad, I have to apologize. Our previous segment, we just spent about 4 minutes saying that Illinois is in the biggest letdown spot of the year. So I apologize in advance that we're going with the mighty Greg Schiano's on Saturday against your beloved Illini.
Well, look, it's understandable. I mean, Illinois is just still a mess offensively. And, we turned back the clock like 50 years. I mean, that was just a slobber knockering in the trenches of epic proportions as we ran pretty much every single down because we don't have a damn quarterback. And Art Sikowski is out. We get the tepid Brandon Peters back under center. Illinois is just going to try to do the exact same game plan that they had against Penn State, except Rutgers is going to be fully prepared. And, you know, Schiano is going to be overloading the box to try to stop Chase Brown. And McCray as well. But, yeah, look, I'll take the under. I may be at the game, and I may be inebriated by halftime.
Well, hopefully you bring your axe and you're chopping wood for me and Sean. We're chopping that wood.
Yeah, it's a cakewalk for Rutgers.
Can you stop being – I don't like the overconfidence. Well,
Illinois just threw for under 40 yards and won a game. Like, it's a chance of that happening.
I mean, Rutgers also lost to Northwestern. Like, so they had
nine chances to get 3 yards, and they got 3 yards on like three of them.
All right.
Come on.
But the real reason we bring on Brad in this spot every single week to get the people prepared, not to rag on Illinois, it's to hear some sledgehammers, because last week, to mimic our good friend Brad Evans, Patrick Mahomes over rushing yards.
Yeah.
He leaves the game with concussion-like symptoms, still goes over the rushing yards, so no worry there. So well done, Mr. Evans, on that. But we're greedy. We want more. And I'm curious, because we said this yesterday. We said, what is Aaron Jones' receptions going to be? Yeah. Because everybody's out except Aaron Jones. Is this a, dare I say, sledgehammer situation?
Ba-da-da-da-da-da! You know, and I would even do it again. It's a double sledgehammer, fools. Yeah, we're breaking it out hard on Aaron Jones. And look, I got the triumvirate of bets on this cat. And I took the over of the 4.5 receptions. Yeah, we sledgehammered that. Took the over as well at 30.5 receiving yards when it opened at DraftKings. Thank you for DK for a very soft line. It is now ballooned to 38.5, and I still think he hits the over. And I took him for an anytime touchdown as well, which opened at -110 is up to -120. This is going to be the Aaron Jones show, and the most elusive, difficult to wrangle running backs in the NFL. And I think he's going to go full-blown Alvin Kamara from what we saw on Monday night. When you were devoid of weapons, which most certainly the cupboard is very bare for Aaron Rodgers. Oh, yeah, maybe Randall Cobb can turn back the clock. Maybe MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling will be active and off the IR list, but he could be on a pitch count, or Robert Tonyan can step up, or Equanimeous St. Brown can register a pulse. What I can tell you is this: Aaron Jones is going to be deployed outside. He's going to be deployed in the slot. They're going to put him in motion. They're going to set up screens for him. He is going to be the centerpiece of this LeFleur game plan. And if you look at Arizona, guys, I mean, they're giving up 4.78 yards per carry, 127.8 total yards per game, and 5.7 receptions and over 41 receiving yards per game just to running backs. So I understand they've only given up the one touchdown to running back this season, whether via the ground or the air, but Aaron Jones is going to put on a show. And if you back him, I think you're going to be counting some monies by the end of the night.
Talking to Brad Evans. Follow Brad on Twitter, at Noisy Huevos there. Great follow. Always love having him on the show. He always puts his plays out there, and he's been very successful.
Been on fire.
On these prop bets, man. So we love it. But, you know, I'm curious about Kyler Murray rushing, because if you look at the over-under right now, it's 28.5, and he's actually only gone over that twice this season. That was against Minnesota in that one-point victory, which they should have lost, but, hey, they got the win. Good job, kickers. And then against L.A., so two big games on their schedule. It's a primetime game, and, you know, I look back to last week when Taylor Heinicke was running buck naked all over the Green Bay Packers. Rushed for 95 yards. I think primetime, MVP candidacy. I like Kyler Murray to run a little bit. What do you think about the 28.5?
Murray, we're going streaking! Absolutely! Yeah, Kyler Murray is going to get over this, guys. I got it early on when the number came out at 26.5. It's now climbed up to 29.5 at some of the books that are out there. You know, I probably wouldn't go another yard more. I think he's going to be right there around 30 to 35 in the end, but look, he had the dinged wing, and, you know, I think he got a case of the yips as a result of it. He's protecting his body, but he's still getting the rush attempts. I mean, he's getting 6, 7, 8 attempts in a game. He hasn't got some of those chunk gains on the ground, but you mentioned it. Taylor Heinicke, you know, flirted with 100 yards last week, channeling his childhood hero, Brett Favre, wearing his number there at Lambeau Field. For the love of God, Jared Goff had over 40 yards on the ground against Green Bay this season. So four quarterbacks have gone over this. As I mentioned, Heinicke, as I mentioned, Goff, and a couple of others. Justin Fields was one, and Jameis Winston the other. And those guys have rushing tendencies. But, yeah, this seems like a game that the dachshund of the desert starts moving those little legs round and round. And I think he'll get there in, you know, the 30 to 35 range. So, again, at 29.5, that's the peak for me. If you want to get on that action now, I suggest you do so. If the number falls back even just a little bit more, our old friend Mr. Sledgehammer may have to come out.
You know, it's interesting because Kyler could go over 50 yards rushing every game if he wanted to.
Exactly.
But he does such a great job of, like Mahomes, not running the ball because he's trying to get a big pass completion. So it'll be interesting, you know, based on what Green Bay does coverage-wise, how many of those potential rush attempts does he actually run the ball?
Yeah, I think that'll be I mean, with the primetime slot, I feel like he's going to utilize the legs, because I'm looking at your plays right now. You don't think that Kyler's going to be throwing it a ton against the Green Bay Packers. I mean, he's got his numbers lofty, 276.5 right now for passing yards, but you think this is an underlook?
Yeah, I think it's just an aggressive number. Yeah. You know, I think he's got a fine and dandy game. It's going to be another multi-TD, you know, vertical attack for Kyler Murray. But, you know, at 275.5, I've seen as high as 277.5. It's a little too rich for my blood. I think he's going to be right there in the 255 to 265 range. You can't throw on the Packers, I can tell you that much. It's not like they're, you know, an iron fortress by any stretch of the imagination, especially down Jair Alexander, the best cover corner. But yeah, I mean, I think you're going to get a lot of James Conner in this game in the second half. You know, Chase Edmonds was highly active on the ground. You know, that kind of plays into some of my James Conner props on the over on rush yards. I think an anytime touchdown at plus odds you can get right now. That's money in the bank pretty much every single week. But for Kyler, I think he's going to leave the pistol in the holder a little bit more in this game. Rely on those runs. And if Green Bay can't muster much of an offense down Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard, it could be a positive game script where it's the running backs dominating the workload down the stretch.
Talk once again to Brad Evans. He joins us each week in this spot. Give us his favorite prop plays for the week. Let's skip ahead to Sunday Night Football. Highest total on the board, Dallas and Minnesota. So points are expected. I think we're sitting at 55. The numbers come down just a tick in favor of Minnesota. So they're getting 1.5 now. It's 2.5 earlier in the week. Prop-wise, what jumps out at you for Sunday Night Football?
Dude, it's the Chef Boyardee of running backs. It's Dalvin Cook. You know, he's not going to be a disgusting can of SpaghettiOs. I mean, he's going to go out there and just lay some wood on this Dallas Cowboys front. I am puzzled, gentlemen, at the lines that came out on him, because they are doughboy soft. The rush attempts at 18.5, are you joking? You know, the identity of Minnesota is to run the ball early and often and down your throat. I mean, Dalvin Cook's had at least 20 carries when he has been healthy this season in every game. And the only game he wasn't healthy, he had 9 carries and split the load, primarily with Alexander Mattison due to that ankle sprain. But he is back in action, fresh off the bye. He is going to be good to go. And here's Dallas's, you know, mantra. They are bend, don't break defensively. I mean, they're giving up 4.45 yards per carry to the running back position. So, you know, Cook, he's forcing a missed tackle over 20% of the time. He is going to be the focal point for Mike Zimmer and company to try to move the chains in this game. So, yes, I'm over on 18.5 rush attempts at plus odds. Thank you, DraftKings. And also, I am over on the 79.5 rush yards at minus 115. I think it's probably a 22 to 25 carry game. And like he does every single week, he's going to flirt or exceed the century mark.
All right, Brad, before we let you run, less than a minute to go, your beloved Bears are hosting the mighty Shanahans of San Francisco. Elijah Mitchell has been a stunning revelation this year.
Yeah.
Over-under, I think, right now, 69.5, just ran for a 107 against the Colts. How does he fare against the Bears?
Well, the Bears aren't going to have Khalil Mack on the field. The Bears just stink. I mean, Matt Nagy's not going to be on the sidelines, and we wish you well, Matt. But if you don't want to return the sidelines, that's cool by me, man. You know, take an early vacation. Totally fine. But, yeah, Eli Mitchell has been, you know, quite the sensation, quite the revelation, as you mentioned. RB7 right now at yards after contact per attempt. He's forcing a missed tackle over 20% of his touches in two of four games this season in which he's got a vigorous workload. Is he at the century mark? You saw it in the rain-soaked, wind-driven game last Sunday night against the Colts. And I think he's going to be able to replicate that output against my Bears, giving up 4.64 yards per carry to running backs.
At Noisy Huevos on Twitter. We love you, Brad, but go Rutgers
love
this weekend.
Love you, Big Duck.
Go Illini, baby! Bring it home! Beal him up! But it's really basketball season. See you guys.
There he is, Brad Evans. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting National Championship is coming up November 5th through the 7th, and VSiN will provide coverage from the main event all weekend long, including live on-location updates for all of the action. Visit VSiN.com/SBNC for more information and learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills and win some cash, including the $1 million top prize. That's VSiN.com/SBNC. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. That is Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. We do have to make mention of this. The Los Angeles Lakers had a 26-point lead today over the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they did not win. They lost.
The Thunder came back and won.
Wow. We've got our research team on what the peak of the money line was. There was a moment late in this game, and I don't know what this season's ultimately going to be for the Lakers. You know, LeBron was out, and it's just one game in the month of October, so whatever. But Oklahoma City was up three. Carmelo Anthony picks off a pass, Sean, has a wide open look to tie the game, and just throws up an air ball. Also, Russell Westbrook, for those of you wondering, what did StatMuse call this? Because he had a quadruple-double, but that included turnovers. He had 10 turnovers. What did they call it in this game? They called it the quadruple hobble. 20 points, 14 rebounds, 13 assists, 10 turnovers. He also got ejected from the game. He had two technicals. So, yeah, that is his sixth career quadruple hobble, as they called it on StatMuse.
Pure comedy.
I don't know how this is going to play out, but the entertainment value is going to be high. With LeBron out nursing, I believe it's an ankle injury right now. I don't know one person who said, "Oh, Russell Westbrook, yeah, that's a great trade. Trade those assets for Russell Westbrook."
Mm-hmm.
His skill set with LeBron, that makes a ton of sense. They traded away their best
shooter. I haven't really
understood
the Lakers. I just felt like they were like, hey, man, if we win it, cool, but let's have a good time.
Well,
LeBron's last couple years.
It's only, you know, it's also like with Russ, and I've said this before, you know, he's going to win you games in February because you're going to want LeBron to sit out because it's his, you know, 18th or 19th season, whatever it is. And he can win some games. Look at what he did at the end of the season with the Wizards. But if LeBron wants to win championship number 5,
it's not happening.
Having Russell Westbrook on your side is not the guy you want. So we will see. By the way, update in game 2 of the World Series. Still sitting on 9. That's what the closing line was for the total tonight. Last night it was 8.5. Lands 8. And now you're sitting at 7-2 with the Houston Astros over the Atlanta Braves as the Astros looking to close this thing out. Even up the series at 1 game apiece and send it back to Atlanta on Friday night, Sean, with a even series. And you will be happy because you were on the Astros, which I totally understand. Makes a lot of sense. And that was out number 2. 1 out away from you cashing that ticket.
Be nice.
Only ticket we got tonight going.
Yeah, good start to the week.
Only ticket on this evening's action. You've got, so let's get back to Thursday Night Football because J.J. Watt, by the way, is not only out tomorrow, he's done for the year.
Yeah, I saw that.
So J.J. Watt, who has oft been injured, he did play every game last year, so give him credit for that, but he will undergo season-ending surgery on his shoulder. That's what Adam Schefter reported less than an hour ago. He obviously was ruled out for tomorrow night's game, but now, as I drop my pen, has been lost for the season. I mentioned, what does this do for tomorrow night's game based on line movement? Doesn't mean anything to the line. But for the season, is this a significant hit to where the where the Arizona Cardinals ultimately want to get, which, Sean, is winning a championship?
Yeah, I looked at this and I thought, you know, J.J. Watt is just extra dessert. So, you know, you have a great dinner. You know, you go to the in-laws' house and the mom can really, like, cook. And you got a great appetizer, a great entree, and they bring out a tremendous dessert. And they have ice cream to go with it. Like, J.J. Watt was the ice cream. Like, Arizona's still capable of going undefeated, in my opinion, and winning a Super Bowl. J.J. Watt was an enhancer, just another weapon, but he wasn't the key part or key piece of the defense, and he wasn't the biggest contributor at this point in his career, so they'll be okay. Like, losing his presence, of course, has some impact, but they'll be okay. I mean, they're driven by the best offense in football, most dangerous, most versatile, most talented offense in football, and a defense that can really, with Chandler Jones and company, create havoc for opposing offenses.
So you mentioned this a little bit earlier in the show about now double teams go more towards Chandler Jones. So what does this do? If people have Chandler Jones Defensive Player of the Year tickets, maybe they bought at the peak, or maybe you were smart enough and you bought it before the 5-sack game to start the season. How much does this hurt Chandler Jones' effectiveness this season now that J.J.'s out of the lineup?
I don't think it hurts it at all because you got to think J.J. just got their win.
This year.
Right. And Chandler Jones has been Pro Bowler win, you know, so he's operated without J.J. Watt. Again, J.J. was ice cream.
Like, yeah,
that defense without J.J. is still a beautiful cake that you can't wait to get a slice of, you know, because they're talented on all three levels. And Chandler will be fine. Chandler will be fine. Hopefully J.J. recovers. You know, I'd love for him to come back and, you know, be a part of this and get an opportunity because, if I'm not mistaken, J.J.'s never even made it to a conference championship game.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I know he's not been to a Super Bowl, so
he's
it's got
to
be frustrating
Houston, but,
for him. But we'll see.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Yeah, that would, you know, for him, let's say Arizona won the championship this year, I'm sure he'd be happy for his teammates, but he would want to be. Yeah, certainly would be bittersweet. Game 2 has gone final, and it's a push on the total. Sean, go cash that ticket. The Houston Astros even up this series at 1 game apiece as they win tonight by a final of 7-2. And we'll get you an updated series price. You know, last night it was plus 145 for the Houston Astros to come back and to win the World Series. Obviously, those odds are long gone. But it'll be interesting to see, Sean, what the series price will be. I would imagine Astros, the Houston Astros will become a slight favorite.
At Circa, it just went Astros minus 140 now.
Wow. I thought it would be like 120.
Braves plus 120. At Westgate, it's Astros minus 125.
Okay. So there you go. Updated series price. Yeah. Aggressive for the Astros. I thought what Westgate had was more my envision, but we'll see. I mean,
you just know you're my guy. I'm just telling you, you're my guy. Because it's going to pain me that I didn't take Astros plus 140 to win the series yesterday. But
that's right.
I didn't want to have competing tickets.
You'll quietly just roll your winnings over every game and make it better than 145.
But I was so proud of you for having the foresight to have a Atlanta Braves win the World Series ticket. Not many people walking around have that.
Yeah.
So that's a good call by you.
It could be a good ticket. It could be a nice souvenir.
Yeah, for when the Astros win
this World Series.
Unlike you, I didn't want to be on the opposing side in this situation.
We do have an early game 3 line.
Because you knew I had Sparty to win the Big Ten. And you still went out and jumped on C.J. Stroud to win the Heisman.
I did.
Which, if he wins the Heisman, that means what? That Ohio State won the Big Ten.
That is correct.
Right. So...
Now you're going to flip this on me?
In a sense, you went against me. I'm used to it.
You good?
Yeah. I'm done.
I mean, I'd be happy for you if you won your ticket. It's just not going to happen. You've said it yourself. They don't have the athletes that secondary.
We're fine. Stay where you're at.
We do have an early line on game 3 here at Circa. Ian Anderson will start for Atlanta. Garcia goes for Houston, and it is almost a pick 'em.
Yeah, minus 110, plus 100.
Yeah, minus 110 in favor of the Braves. Even money in favor for Houston on the buyback.
Garcia's the one with the long Jerry curl, right?
Yeah, he was the one who shoved in game 7, right?
Yeah, this is Houston all the way. Braves might not win another game.
Westgate just posted. Thank you, Sean. I appreciate the confidence. Westgate minus 108, minus 102. So a slight tweak in that line. But that is where we stand with this series. 7-2, headed back to Atlanta. Hey, look, maybe for entertainment purposes, we get 7 games. Games 3, 4, and 5 over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 7-2, over does not cash. It's a push, closes 9. But if you laid the minus 118, which was the closing number on the Astros, like Mr. King over here, you are happy. Really a no-sweat winner for the Houston Astros today. Maybe you took them on the run line, got a little plus money. Plus 170 here for the run line. That comes home for the Houston Astros. Series even up at 1 game apiece in the World Series. It's the Nightcap coming back.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 a month. Sign up now. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Actually, just there's no backslash anymore. I was reminded of that. You don't have to say that. It's just slash. Everyone knows it's slash. VSiN.com/subscribe. Houston Astros 7-2 winner over the Atlanta Braves tonight. So an easy win for anyone who backed the Houston Astros, whether it was on the run line, straight up, super run line. It all comes home for the Houston Astros. Urquidy comes home with over strikeouts. Both starting pitchers went over their props when it comes to strikeouts. Max Fried, despite the struggles that he had, went over his 3.5 strikeouts. Urquidy went over. They both went over 14.5 outs recorded. They both went over on hits allowed, and Max Fried did not give up a homer. Urquidy did to Travis d'Arnaud in the second inning. So the Houston Astros victorious. Series now shifting back to Atlanta or to Atlanta for the first time. And your series price here at Circa, Astros minus 140, Braves plus 120, and DraftKings just posted their line, Sean, for Game 3, and they've got it, a pick. Just like pretty much every other book. Shop around depending on who you like. You might be able to get a little plus money on the Houston Astros.
I think people are confused.
I think so, too.
It's a very even series. Again, I think the Charlie Morton injury is huge.
I do
now,
as well.
I do favor the Astros.
Yeah. Charlie Morton would probably have started Game 5 and would have been available likely for Game 7 if needed. Mm-hmm. And now he's obviously out. Ian Anderson, you need him big time for Atlanta in this spot. Like you mentioned, though, you've been mentioning this for a while, and it's a fair point, right? Houston's dealing with this, too. No Lance McCullers.
Yeah, it's big.
So both these teams are dealing with injuries, but, you know.
That's your ace.
Pound for pound, you look at those two lineups, and, man, it's hard to poke holes in that Astros lineup.
In a seven-game series, your ace is going to minimum pitch two games.
Minimum.
So that's 12 innings you're trying to cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the Astros' bats, that's a lot of outs to get without your ace being
now,
able
to
man that ship.
They were able to overcome that yesterday.
Right.
But it depended on, you know, now you usually move your game one starter to game five. You don't normally do short rest. Sometimes you do. But I think Morton would have still been game five. But, yeah, I think Friday night is going to be huge.
Fascinating. It's a fascinating series.
And we'll see what this line does.
What do you think about the CFB tomorrow? I've been selling you Coastal Carolina
I know.
All week. You buying it? Looks like the line moved towards
Troy. My only hesitation, I totally understand where you're coming from.
At home, Coastal's been a different team.
I might just sit back and cheer for you in this spot.
I'll be on Coastal heavy.
I know you're on Coastal. Well, give us the pitch on why you're on Coastal, because this is a clear bounce back spot for Coastal.
Losing to
App State. Want to keep their hopes and dreams alive. I mean, the New Year's Six is pretty much out the window now, but you still want to win your conference, and you got to take care of business now because the tiebreaker is owned by Appalachian State, and you know you got a lot on the line, you know. But the line has dropped to 17 at some spots. It's 17.5 at DraftKings and here at Circa. The only issue why I would look at Troy a little bit, but I'm not going to because I don't have confidence, and you're on Coastal, so that swayed me off of it. Mm-hmm. The only reason I would look at Troy is that they're a pretty good defensive team. They don't give up a ton of points, but they stink offensively.
Yeah.
And that's the issue.
And that's my thing. Like, Troy's scoring 177 total points on the year.
Mm-hmm.
Coastal has scored 320.
Right.
So Coastal's a much better team, in my opinion, at home than they have been on the road this season. And they'll be focused, they'll be locked in, because they know they cannot afford to drop another conference game. Even though they don't control their destiny now, they're rooting against
App State.
But they'll play their best ball, especially on offense. And I think that's good enough to win by three touchdowns.
Yeah, so Coastal, I mean, you look at the East Division of the Sun Belt for any of those
a bunch of teams,
future owners out there on the Sun Belt. Yeah, App State, Coastal, Troy, and Georgia State, all 2-1. You know, can we give a little shout-out to Louisiana?
That's right, when I talked to Rich Rod yesterday.
I mean,
telling him how proud
I was.
Well,
that's UL Monroe.
Yeah.
I'm saying Louisiana Lafayette.
Oh, they're in the I was talking about Monroe's 2-2.
Yeah.
4-3. I mean, this is a team that came in with like a 11-12 game losing streak.
So I want to bring that up because Rich Rod is a guy that you know obviously very, very well.
My guy.
Your time at Tulane. UL Monroe was expected to be one of the worst teams in all
their win
total
was like 1.5.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they had, Jackson State, and then everyone expected them to lose. They have now won three games as massive underdogs. They beat Troy, they beat Liberty, and they beat South Alabama last week. So now they go on the road, Sean.
App State.
And this was on the list that I put up there. You know, earlier today, and it might still be up there, it was at 28. I took Monroe as well.
I mean, Monroe.
Appalachian State is coming off of a enormous victory, right? National television, home underdog, Sean. And what do? They win.
Yeah.
Storm the field. The week prior, we saw Louisiana Lafayette. Mm-hmm. Similar situation, right?
We did.
One big, beat App State, right? What did they do the next week? They were life and death with Arkansas State, a team that stinks. So UL Monroe seems, I don't know what Coach Bowden and Rich Rod are doing down there, but they've got this team believing, and they've got three really impressive wins. And if it touches 28, folks, like it did here at Circa, and let me just check real quickly if it is there. I think you got to take a look at UL Monroe. It's back down to 27, so I was able to grab it at 28 earlier today.
I like. Come on, Warhawks. Let's go.
Keep it rolling, baby. I thought last week I put on, you know, that little thing I do every week with the letdown spots. I thought UL Monroe, you just beat Liberty. Come on, you're not going to bounce. But they beat South Alabama as a 13.5-point underdog.
So you always say don't tease college games.
I don't. Yeah, no, right. Don't do it.
What if I teased Louisiana Monroe up to, what would it be, 33? And teased Kansas up to 36.5? And do did a two-team teaser.
I just wouldn't do it. I continue.
Just play them at the number?
Yeah, just play it at what it is. I mean, I think if you play the percentages, the likelihood of that game falling.
We're talking about Saturday. We're not talking about the percentages.
The likelihood of those games falling in between 28 and 32. Look, and don't take it from me. Take it from Chris Andrews. He had a much better explanation of it.
Chris said he don't make the matchups. He just makes the lines.
Well, he told us very eloquently why you don't play teasers in college football. It's too volatile.
He also laughed at me when I told him Clemson was a 9-3 team. He's one of the culprits.
All right. So is he on your list?
No.
You going to go after Chris Andrews?
No, I love Chris
Andrews. Doing this for a long time?
He's awesome.
Don't tease college football.
Okay.
Too much volatility. Yeah. So.
Can I tease Maryland to maybe win another game this year?
I hope so, man. Yeah. Smart money on the Terps this week.
How are they favored? Like, when I looked at that, I was like, oh, no. Lights out.
Well, because Indiana stinks.
Yeah, but still, Maryland, I mean, come on.
Up to 5.5 now.
Like, Aaron Oster, our producer, probably could get some routes run at Maryland right now.
They are so
based on
up.
How decimated they are at receiver.
I don't know him personally. You do. I just want Maryland to make a bowl game. I want Mike Locksley to make a bowl. I don't want him to be on the hot seat.
Me too.
I'm not
saying I want Indiana to win, but I'm saying Maryland's almost a touchdown favorite. Like, they shouldn't be touchdown favorite against anybody.
Line is steaming up. There's a reason, though.
You're right.
There's a reason for everything.
You're right. I'm not going to touch it.
No.
I've got other things to focus on in the Big Ten.
Yeah. By the way, you just wrote down like 15 games.
Hey, it's
over
there. A lot of games I like.
All right, give me one. You're going to break. Tease us up on a game that you
like. I am fading Temple the rest of the year. I love UCF minus 10. Hey, I'm fading Temple the rest of the year. Temple stinks. Absolutely stinks. I don't care who they're playing. I'm taking the other side against Temple the rest of the year.
Right now you can get 10.5 in favor of UCF.
I get 10. If I got to buy the half a point, I'll buy it. I'm going to do 10.
Don't buy points in college football.
Listen.
Don't buy points. It's just going to happen. You know?
Yeah. I'm taking UCF. I will have a bet against Temple the remaining games on their schedule. They could play like the University of Philadelphia, and I would take the University of Philadelphia. Like, that's how bad Temple is. Temple's terrible.
All right. We got to let's get back to the NFL. Kenny White going to join us at the top of the hour. We'll get his favorite plays. What else you got? You want to give us a little more?
Yep, I'm playing the under in every Clemson game the remainder of the season. So
total
under 47.
40, you get 47 yep. and a half at yep. South Point.
Under every game with Clemson.
All right, it's a nightcap. We'll come back. We'll take a look at the NFL card. A big line move in a division rivalry. The nightcap.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Indeed helps find great hires fast. Indeed is your all-in-one platform for interviewing, screening, and hiring high-quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. one and only Kenny White, top of the hour.
Hey, Weezy.
Another winner for him. What's his record up to with his best play? 7-2?
Yeah, I think he's got 2 losses on the year.
And we're heading into week 9. He had a week 0 play. He took Illinois.
One of them was a terrible beat. The ULM Liberty under was a terrible beat.
Yeah, it was tough. But yeah, he's been killing it and gave us under in Washington, Arizona. A nice Friday night winner. God, there's nothing better than a Friday night winner. Head into the weekend feeling good, a little extra cash in your pocket.
You taking Coastal with me tomorrow?
No. You don't want my bad mojo. I don't have a great feel on that one. We'll see what Kenny says. I'm going to sit here and cheer for you. Not going to be on the other side. I'm going to sit here and cheer for you.
Yeah, I got you.
By the way, you could get... Make sure you're not laying a bad number.
I'm not.
Like,
I'm getting 17.
17.
Yeah, I'm going to get 17.
There you go. Westgate has 17. A couple other spots has
17. I'm going to put it with 17. Some stuff for the weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You and your parlays, man.
Yeah. I play straight bets.
I know. You should. You should.
My big bets are always straight bets.
Good. As it was today. See? Yeah. Didn't fool around.
Not at all.
One of the Astros came home. Yeah, so Kenny's going to join us top of the hour, get his thoughts on the college football weekend. If he has any plays in the big games, Florida and Georgia, Michigan State, Penn State.
Did he send you a list of games that he wants to talk?
What's that?
Did he send you a list of games he wants to talk?
We'll get to that list. I'm sure he has.
You like the lead.
I do this. People don't see this. I do this, and he'll say, he'll shake me off.
So there's certain guys that I want to get more information.
Yeah.
So I don't ask a lot of questions. Like Brad, I want Brad to give me all his prop bets. And with Kenny, I want Kenny to give me his picks.
Yeah.
All right.
So I always ask, and you say no, and then I continue to go. I am a very, if you say I want,
so does you go. The UNLV-Nevada line surprise you, considering that UNLV has been like a covering machine up until San Jose State? Nevada coming off of a huge win at Fresno.
Not really. I mean, Nevada, I think, also is...
Did I say Nevada?
Sorry. Is also in a spot where I think there's some flexing going on. By the way, the mayors of Vegas and Nevada and Reno have a nice bet. And I got to give props to the mayor of Vegas, Adam Hill from the LVRJ, tweeted this out. She didn't say straight up. She said... I'll take the points. That's a true mayor of Las Vegas. She's like, I'll take the 20.5. You know, we're not doing any money line business here.
And so I can get this right. It's Nevada, right?
Nevada,
okay. Oh. I got to apologize to the Nightcap Army. We have a whole army of people that make this show happen, make the magic happen, and they always chastise me and get on me because I say Nevada. So I apologize. It's Nevada.
Nevada. Yeah, I got the list of Kenny's games, so we'll get to them. Well, I want to jump over just to the NFL for a little bit. We've been hitting on a Thursday night football game, rightfully so. It's, I won't say it's the, well, Buccaneers-Cowboys is certainly was the most anticipated. Open up the season, you got the defending champs, you got Dallas.
I'm more interested in
And unfortunately, with Davante Adams being out.
This is going to be woodshed.
Take some shine off of it.
Cardinals are going to spank the Packers tomorrow night. I'm telling you, the Packers are the most fraudulent 6-1 team in the NFL.
There's only like 4 of them. So, yeah, you got what? The Bucks. There's no teams in the AFC that are 6-1.
Rams.
Yeah, I would say the Rams are
Packers.
Bad.
Cowboys have had a bye, so I think they're 5-1.
5-1. Yeah, we got the Buccaneers. You got Packers and the Rams. Those are your 3 6-1 teams.
Yeah.
So, yes,
they're fraudulent.
Well,
they're fraudulent. They are. It'll be exposed tomorrow night. So, you guys are listening. I have another game that I'll give you guys on Friday, this Big King's best bet. But my second best play of the week is Arizona minus the 6.5. They are going to spank the Packers.
All right. I have Arizona in a teaser. That's I'm
you know, you just like to tease. Yeah. Play it straight up.
I don't want to.
Okay, well don't.
If you win your bet, I win mine.
Listen, Green Bay's not good on defense. Chase Edmonds is like 4th in the NFL, averaging 5.8 yards per carry. DeAndre Hopkins has caught 7 touchdowns. They're without Alexander.
Like, questionable, by the way, DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, he's been questionable like the last 3 weeks. Yeah. I mean, they got weapons everywhere. I mean, everywhere on offense in Arizona. And they're still fighting for... market share. Even though they're undefeated, they still don't dominate the national conversation like they should. So they still are fighting. They still have that chip on their shoulder. You know, we're winning, but, you know, we're still not getting really recognized as we should. We're not leading all of these shows when they come on. We're not the top.
Well, they will on Friday if they take care of business.
You know, we're not in the first segment. You know, they're getting to us later. This is an opportunity, a standalone game, island game, as you call it, to really make a statement. And I'm telling you, they are going to spank the Green Bay Packers tomorrow.
Well, for your bet and for mine, I hope that's true. I hope it comes home and the Cardinals take care of business.
Yeah, thanks for all the support.
What?
We're going to win today! Yeah, well, I hope you guys play well. Yeah, we're real energetic.
I also do business. I also do work in Milwaukee. So, you know, I got.
You don't work in Milwaukee. Like, you got like a little segment you do. You don't live there. Your zip code doesn't say Wisconsin.
Your zip code doesn't say Phoenix.
That's right. Oh, I do have one in Phoenix in Ahwatukee.
What's that?
Yeah, I have a zip code in Phoenix.
Still?
In Ahwatukee, yeah.
There you go. Tennessee and Indianapolis, we've seen a flip.
Shout out to the foothills, by the way. And all the beautiful people down there. It's a great area to live in.
We've got a flip of favorites in Tennessee and Indianapolis.
And this is surprising.
I liked Indianapolis getting a point and a half. I took them on the money line. I added them to Arizona with the teaser up to 7.5 here at Circa when I was sitting 1.5. I really like that. So I had Arizona and Indianapolis plus 7.5. Now, if you like Tennessee here at Circa, you could tease Tennessee up to 8. Through 3, through 7, and yeah, you could get both sides. I might do it. Maybe do another one with Arizona and hope this Colts-Titans game lands 7 or 3, which I think it could very well do. So Tennessee now is an underdog. Tennessee coming off of wins over Buffalo and a win over the Kansas City Chiefs. 5-2 on the year, and they are now a dog at Indianapolis, a team they've already beaten this year. Is this a spot you like Tennessee?
Love Tennessee here. And I've been an advocate of the Indianapolis Colts the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, last week I told people in Survivor one of the best plays was to take the Colts as a underdog on the road win outright. And that's exactly what they did.
Terrible play.
However, I will say this. I'm a lot more hesitant in this game because Carson Wentz has gotten away with some really boneheaded plays the last couple weeks. And I think this is going to be a nip and tuck game, so I don't think he can afford the Carson Wentz. And I'm not sure that he's capable of not. So I would lean towards Tennessee in this game. I will say if Tennessee is going to throw a clunker, this would be it. But I don't think they will because it's a division game. And they know if they win this game, they, for most intents and purposes, lock up the AFC South. So they'll be ready. I just trust Ryan Tannehill and the way he's playing more than I trust Carson Wentz right now. But you got to have an answer for Jonathan Taylor, and you have to be able to defend the deep ball versus Indianapolis without interfering. Because they found kind of their niche, throw the ball deep, pray for pass interference. It's how they scored all their points against the San Francisco 49ers, be honest.
And that game was just a disaster with the rain. And, I mean, right, Garoppolo was horrible.
Indy's getting better, though.
They are.
They're getting better.
I liked Indy, and then the Carson Wentz, you know, injury news preseason. And I have Tennessee to win this division. So, you know, it's a weird situation that I'm in because I have Indianapolis to win it outright. I got to, you know, even money.
Tennessee or Indy?
Indy to win this game outright.
To win the game.
Win the game. But I've got Tennessee to win the division. So I'm kind of in a precarious spot because if Tennessee wins this game, then they really have this division on lockdown.
How many yards did Eli Mitchell rush for against the Colts?
100 and something.
And now they're trying to tackle Derrick Henry.
Yep.
With a team that can competently throw the ball to either side.
I mean, that's the thing. Tannehill with A.J. Brown, duo was humming.
I actually think the line is wrong in this one, but we'll see.
Well, it moved. It opened 1.5 and has moved, flipped it over.
Right. To the Colts, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they think the line is wrong.
So then go get yourself plus 110 right now in Tennessee to win this game.
And when the odds makers think the teams are even in the NFL, it's minus 3 for the home team.
Generally.
When they think the road team is slightly better, that's when it gets a little under minus 3.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they're telling you the Titans are better.
Yeah. And they were telling you that they were on their home field probably 6 or 7 points of favorite. And now we sit with Indianapolis Go Colts. Take care of business.
Kenny White.
Kenny White coming up next. He's got his thoughts on the college football slate right here on the Nightcap.